All right, praise the Lord. Welcome on back here, friends, to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Let's go ahead and open up in our red hymnals for those of you that are in-house. For those of you who are watching online, I highly encourage you to check out and search on your smartphone these hymnals so that way you can follow along with us. But for those of you that are in-house, we are in the red hymn today. First song we're going to sing is on page 191. Count your blessings. Amen. Count your blessings. We have much to be thankful for here today and to say, God, we thank you for that. We thank you for this. So let's go ahead and get ourselves ready for a heart of worship and focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On the one. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. On the two. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. Good singing, church. On the third. When you look at others with their hands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money will not buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. On the last. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good singing, church. All right, friends, let's go ahead and turn in our red hymnals to page 507. 507, Come Thou Fount. For those of you that are watching online, feel free to search on your phone. Come Thou Fount. Many blessings here, 507. Amen. On the one. One, two, ready.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
Amen. Good singing. On the two.
Here I raise my Ebenezer,
Hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
Amen. Good singing. On the last.
Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I heal it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, good singing, church. One last one here before we get started with some announcements. Just the page on your left-hand side, 506, Blessed Assurance. Amen. How many of you guys know that we have an assurance of eternal life, home in heaven, because Jesus said so? The resurrection. Praise God. Amen. On the one. One.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Good singing, church. On the two.
Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. On the last.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior, happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. All right, that was a good job, Brother Cormier. All right, let's go and stand in one another and greet one another. Amen. Stand and greet one another. There you go. I'm a little excited here today. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and greet one another in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, welcome to Simple Faith Baptist Church. My name is Kwame. You can call me Brother Q if you like. It's a lot easier to remember. Thank y'all for all of y'all who have joined us this afternoon physically. Thank y'all for joining us, and thank y'all for joining us virtually. It's a blessing to be able to minister to you guys and gals. All right, so I'm going to go over some tabs real quick for the new viewers who are new to our page. This here is our Simple Faith Baptist Church page here. We have our calendar tab, just like any other calendar tab, right? Current, future events, former events, so you can try to keep up with us, or come and join us, which will be a far more greater blessing if you can join us in some of these ministries, all right? So if you look here, every last Sunday of the month, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, all right? So that's going to be, I'm pretty sure, it's going to be next, maybe today. So we may or may not do it today. If not, we'll do it next Sunday. And so we'll do it next Sunday. Confirmation from Brother Carlos. Amen. All right. And every first Wednesday of the month, we're going to have our prayer service, which differentiates from our regular Wednesday night Bible study. So that's how you can keep up with us here at Simple Faith Baptist Church on our calendar tab. About us, very simple. We're just fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who love the Lord because he first loved us. So we want to continue to honor him by honoring his word. And just trying to do our best to do what he tells us to do, because if we love him, we'll keep his commandments, he said. Amen. All right. Our church team tab here, just a few of the many members here, just myself and Brother Carlos. We want to put our names out there for you guys to reach us via email, via phone. If you have any type of prayer request, any need we can meet, any information you may need, please feel free to contact us there. Our prayer tab is one of the most important tabs here because it's important to God. God tells us all throughout the scriptures to continue to pray without ceasing. Pray, pray, pray. He makes it clear that he wants us to pray. So this is a tool you can use if you want us to keep you in prayer as a church. So if you have a prayer request, you want to give a praise report of what God has done in your life, please feel free to fill it out here. I'll show you on the right-hand side here, submit prayer requests. Again, prayer and praise reports. Want to give glory to God. He's definitely worthy of our worship. And the way you can do that is here, or if you have a need, put it here. Now, again, I always want to announce that the prayer requests or praise reports you put on here will be public, meaning that everybody on the page will be able to see it. If you don't want it public, let us know. We'll still receive it, but we won't post it as public. So you have that option, so you have that there. Amen. All right, moving right along. So the current and future ministries, I'm going to bounce from this page into our home page for more finer details. So soul winning Saturdays. Every Saturday, what that means is we try to go out and obey the Lord by going out there and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ so people can know who Christ is and what he's done for them so they can come to him in faith, believe on him, and be born again, not have to go to hell, have a relationship with God, and just be a part of God's children. And it's a blessing and opportunity we have to be an ambassadors for Christ out there. So if you want to join us, please do. I mean, you won't. You know, if you have any fears or anything like that, pray, ask God to give you strength. But he says if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. It's just one thing he commands us to do, and we're going to have your back out there. It's not too gnarly like in other countries, so, I mean, we have no excuse here in America, amen? All right, so Wednesday night, I'm going to go over on the homepage here, just like I announced earlier Wednesday night. So Wednesday night, we have our midweek service right here at 7 p.m., and like I said, that last Wednesday of the month, we're going to have a time set apart for prayer and worship. So just remember that. And if you forget, just refer back to our calendar tab. All right. And then Sunday, like today, we have our Sunday school at 1 p.m. That's a 30-minute Bible Bible Sunday School. And right now we're going through a book called Fascinating Truths. We're almost finished with this book. I've been learning a lot from this book. A lot of good truths that I didn't know about and I'm growing from. So I thank God for that. And again, our next book is going to be on another book from the Brother James Knox, Miracle Signs and Wonders. And want to get into that to continue to add to our faith knowledge. So that's every Sunday at 1 p.m. is our Sunday school. After 1:30, 15-minute break, then we go and get into Sunday service. We worship God in spirit and in truth and get into the Word of God. Friday nights, we push back from 6:30 to 7 o'clock. Thank God for the church for helping honor me there because on Fridays I have a lot going on at work where I sometimes get off late. And so Fridays at 7 p.m., we're moving our Friday night discipleship class so we can continue to learn how to rightly divide the Word of God as He commands us to do. All right? Last couple tabs I'm going to go over here is this live stream tab. If you are viewing us, you're either on Facebook, YouTube, or podcasts. Again, those are all available just so you know in case one goes down. Or more of a blessing, you can come gather together with us here. Our address is on the homepage. Amen. All right, Bible study tab here is very solid. One of my favorites I always like to give a shout out to is Brother James, just because I love the way he rightly divides the Word of God. But again, all these brothers are solid in either their Bible teaching, their Bible history, just learning and growing and adding more to our faith. These brothers are solid. So please feel free to utilize these here. We've met a lot of these brothers here, and we definitely heard their preaching and teaching, and it's solid, it's on point. So feel free to check out that tab. Last tab I'm going to talk about here is the online giving tab. And again, it's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. We just make it available here if you would like to give to here at Simple Faith Baptist. Again, all funds go to flyers, gospel tracts, anything we can do to help minister into people because that's what the Lord called us to do. All right. So with that being said, I welcome up Brother Carlos and get ready for the Word of God. Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and get the Lord hand praise for Brother Kwame. Thank you, Brother Kwame. All right. Appreciate that, brother. Faithfulness. All right. All right. Praise God. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 11. And as you make your way there, hope you guys came for the Bible, as we know that's what's going to change our lives, not our feelings, not our past, not our present, not our culture, not our government. But God's Word, the Bible, when we put our faith in it and yield to the Spirit of God, it'll work in our lives. So, as we get ready for the sermon today, I wanted to make a quick announcement. I do apologize. Next Sunday service, I will show you online. There's a missionary that contacted me by the name of Sister Brittany. What's her name here? Brittany Shear, if I'm not mistaken here. Brittany Shear. And she is a missionary to Africa. And like I said, I forgot to get this ready visually. I do apologize. I want to show you guys next Sunday. But she'll be coming down, Lord willing, sometime in January to give some announcements, to share with our church her heart for the African people. And they already have a little ministry started out there, and she's pretty cool. Ironically, she's my age. That's kind of funny. We were fellowshipping over the phone because Sister Brittany, Kwame's wife, is our secretary. So whenever we get phone calls or emails, she'll redirect the text message to me for a message. So I finally called her. And here's what's cool about this Sister Brittany, Q. She knows Brother Blake's wife, Haley. They went to Bible college together. So the missionary that we already support knows the wife. And so that was cool. They know about each other. She knows about our Bible school and our affiliation and all that stuff. And so that's pretty cool. So she was excited to hear about what the Lord's doing with us. She's 28 years old, and she wants to move to Africa because she's sold out for Jesus. She loves God. She has a heart for the Word of God, and she wants to seek support. So again, like I told a lot of our people, we're new to the independent Baptist world and how these missionaries do it. They call it deputation. And so that just simply means they're out there collecting money for the work that they believe the Lord has called them to do. So keep her in prayer. Like I said, next Sunday service, I'll have the visuals so we can see it. We'll play the video. And then hopefully come January, Lord willing, down here we get to meet a new soul and rejoice and support her in the work of ministry. Amen. So her name is Brittany Shear, and she wants to travel to Africa, live out there. They already have a little ministry started out there, and their main goal is supporting the orphans. So for those of you who don't know, Africa has a lot of abandoned children. We think it's worse in Mexico or here. It's hardcore. So, I mean, a lot of kids get left behind. Their families are willing to sell them for money or whatever the case may be. Real bad out there. And praise God for Christians going into the world, not only to preach, but to love humans and support them, take care of them. So she has a heart for the peoples of Africa. So let's keep her in prayer. That's a blessing. And then one more before we get started. We had a great time soul winning yesterday. For those of you who joined us, want to thank God. We're out there street preaching. We take our street preaching signs and we take out our gospel tracts because we want to tell the world about Jesus. And very exciting conversations. Brother Kwame had a taller gentleman. I called him the Jolly Green Giant. Was just looking down the whole time. But that was a blessing. He heard the word, and he was questioning Kwame about some things. Brother Q studying it up, ready with an answer. And we had some sincere conversations with a young couple. I told them how to get saved, and I said, would you guys consider that? They really did. And then last-minute scoffer, somebody just wanted to debate. I haven't had a good debate in a while, so I finally did. It was good to get out there, and he was pro-vegan, you know, animal activism and evolution, and it was good to see that. So that's why, you guys, it's good to go, because it's going to stretch your spiritual muscles out, you know. So you may at times feel defeated, like, oh, I didn't know what to say. That's what's a part of growth, amen. So when you start lifting weights, you got to start small, get bigger, right, as they say. So if you haven't gone street witnessing with us or preaching or door knocking, come one day, because Jesus told you to, number one. Number two, it's going to help increase your comfort and your mental awareness of people, how to answer people, and so on. It was real good, amen. So let's just keep those souls in prayer. Romans chapter 11. I hope you guys are there. We're going to start here in verse number 5. And for those of you guys who know, we've been going through the book of Romans verse by verse. And if the weather gets a little cold in here or too hot, let Kwame know and he'll adjust it, okay? And again, we're talking about the nation of Israel. So for those of you guys who have been with us in our study, we're talking about the people of God, the physical called out people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are not the church, and the church is not Israel. God is not done with them because he is a God of his word. Once he established a covenant or a promise unconditionally, that means without the conditional response from the human, he's going to fulfill it. So because he gave a promise to a man, Abraham, and to his descendants, he's going to do it. Now, he's going to judge those people because he gave them laws. He's going to govern them, and he's going to allow certain things to go down because he's going to deal with them accordingly. But he is not done with them. And so again, contrary to first century false teachings amongst Christianity in those days that the Jews are no longer the people of God, the church has replaced them, and today denominations are built on systematics. We believe the Bible, and God's not done with them yet. So verse number 5, as a quick intro. So when we go to verse number 1, hath God cast away his people, talking about Israel, the answer from the Holy Ghost is God forbid. So verse number 5, even so then at this present time, so we're talking about the writing of the book of Romans first century, so give or take AD 50s or 60, regardless of what book you want to go to. At the time of the apostles, there was a remnant of Jews getting saved by faith when they trusted the word of God. And obviously this applies throughout our time now because the word of God is still in effect, amen? So also there is a remnant of Jews according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So without getting too caught up in this whole grace and works issue, it's by the virtue of God's character that he is a gracious God that any creature has an opportunity to receive his mercy and his forgiveness. It's because God is a gracious God that he extends salvation and its offer to humanity. And so that salvation is only received when people put their faith in the Word of God when it's presented to them. Unless if they approach it with the works aspect, then they are trying to merit God's righteousness and favor under conditions, which is the works, and et cetera, et cetera. But they are not one and the same, and so we don't want to confuse that. Verse number 7, what then? Israel hath not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So Israel, the whole, the remnant, or here as it says here, but the election, that is the remnant, hath obtained it, that is the part, and the rest were blinded. So notice how your Holy Bible doesn't have a period at the end of that verse. You see that? It's a word, and then we have a what we call a parenthetical. So the Holy Spirit is going to put this little note in there so you can understand the broader context of the word. So what then? Israel as a whole hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election, that's the remnant, hath obtained it, and the rest, that's the remaining of the whole, were blinded. Keep going, but here's a little thought nugget in there. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, and here it is, unto this day. And the rest were blinded unto this day. But why? The Lord says, because of this right here, that little parenthetical. It's real important. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see. Bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Let's go ahead and pray. God, we thank you. We pray that you'd meet with us today. Remove me out of your way, Father. I pray for the spiritual blessing of knowledge to increase within every soul that's here and watching online, Lord, so we can be more like you, think more like you, and act more like you. And I just pray, Lord, no matter how folks came in here today, that they would leave that much more knowledgeable of the word, your expectations, so they can live a life of that victory in Christ. We pray for these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to Romans chapter 3 so we can remind ourselves of the bigger picture in regards to Israel as a whole, as a nation, as a people group, and then that little faithful remnant that seems to be God's dealing through with them throughout time. And when you go from the book of Judges all the way to the moment of Christ and to the days of the apostles until this very moment, where nationally God's hand has been removed from the people in that land, where he's been dealing with a few, a remnant of Jews as it pertains to their salvation. And so let's go ahead and remind ourselves of Romans 3 earlier in regards to God's dealing with the people of Israel. Verse number 1, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. God did not give his laws, his revelations, his prophecies to the Mexicans, to the Aztecs, to the Ingans, the Africans, the Mongols, the Filipinos, the Enos, and whatever Enos you want. He gave them to the Jews. That is the advantage that they had throughout time over everybody else on the planet throughout time. For what if some did not believe? What about them Jews that did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. So as we're talking about God dealing with the people of Israel as a nation and as a people, yes, we see throughout the book of Judges and all throughout that Old Testament, God judges Israel. I mean, a lot of them die by God's wrath as it pertains to their disobedience to the law. But it's not all. It's some. And so the remaining, again, that little remnant of faithful Hebrews that put their faith in that word, they're obviously going to receive the blessing, whereas the whole doesn't. But just because the whole does not believe or is faithless or disobedient, it's not going to prevent God's faith. It's not going to prevent his purposes that he's already established that he will bring about. Does that make sense, church? So because God said he's going to do something, regardless of what you do, he's going to judge you in that area, you understand, because he gave the Jew the law, but he's going to fully bring to fruition what he initially said over here, that is the faith of God that's not going to be affected. So what we are constantly remembering or reminding ourselves concerning the scripture is that God's grace is the ultimate virtue expressed of God that offers hope to his creation wherever it's offered. And whenever received of mankind, it's quite obvious that he hath not so dealt with the angelic creature like he has with mankind. In other words, God doesn't extend grace to Lucifer. He doesn't extend grace to whatever devilish angels and whatever their names are. It's with mankind. Praise the Lord for that. God's dealings with man in general, and then more specifically with the people of Israel, is that God's faith, as established by the authority of the Word of God, will not be made void simply by the choices or decisions of his creatures. God is far more superior and capable, intelligent enough to see his word come to pass when dealing out his promises made to man, etc. So again, what advantage had the Jew? Because unto them were committed the oracles, that's the communications, the revelations, the word. What if some did not believe? Notice, not all, the Bible says, but some. Shall their unbelieving faith make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. The answer from the Holy Ghost. Now we must be mindful of this, because many still seem to attempt to argue with God concerning these truths as it pertains to God's dealings with his people. But praise God, we have the rest of Romans chapter 11. So let's go back to Romans chapter 11. Because a lot of people argue, well, look at them. Look at what they've done. God obviously is done with them, etc., etc. But no, that they're obviously not biblically literate or reminding themselves of Scripture. You see, God hath not cast away his people. That is the answer here in verse number 2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. He's known the purpose ahead of time, which he revealed to Abraham, which he would progressively reveal over time. So verse 5, moving onward. Even so, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Moving forward, the Holy Spirit used Old Testament Scripture to argue for the preservation of the people of Israel, and by this hope of truth, that is what we read in the Word of God, the apostles were confident in their belief and understanding concerning God's dealings with his forefathers and therefore their future. And so even so, just like at the time of Elijah, unbeknownst to him, you guys remember we talked about back here when Elijah was arguing with the Lord about his judgment and what about this and what about that? God, I'm the only prophet left. What about that? Unbeknownst to him, they are still his people. And so he had a faithful remnant ready to believe in him. So likewise, just like how God had a faithful remnant then at the time of Elijah, the Holy Spirit continues the truth of this promised preservation of this people at this time. Notice what the Lord says in verse number 5. Even so, at this present time, present tense right now, we can see and observe that there is a remnant, that is a residue. But of what? His people, Israel, according to the election of grace. Again, God's grace in choosing his people is how they've been preserved up unto this time. And if by grace, verse 6, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more works. Otherwise, work is no more work. So if God dealt with them by grace initially, then the outcome is going to be that God is going to follow through because of his grace. If it were of works, then they would be on conditional basis. And if they failed at one point, then God will deal with them by that. Forget it, because none of them could ever fully achieve the satisfaction of the demands of the law as it pertains to context. So let's go back to chapter number 9 and remind ourselves of the Jews that stumbled. Why? Because they sought to do something by their works and not by faith, and that is what's going to define for us today as present-day New Testament Christians, the remnant. That's how we are going to be able to identify Jews that get saved, is because they come to God by faith, not by the works of the law, etc. So look at here, Romans chapter 9, verse number 27. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For those of you who remember studying your Bible, Isaiah is just the Greek of Isaiah. And so we have a prophecy concerning the future of Israel. Although they are numerous, the Bible says right there, right? They have plenty of peoples. They've been procreating and being blessed of God, multiplying. Only a remnant shall be saved. That is a residue, a small portion of them. For he will finish the work. That is God. God's going to finish the work. Cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodoma and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, notice the whole, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, or why? Because they, the whole of Israel, sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. If it be of grace, it is grace. If it be of works, it is works. No more grace, no more works, etc. So what was the problem? Up until this very time of Elijah's prophecy, the nation of Israel had committed so much atrocities against God. They've committed spiritual adultery by worshiping the false gods. Their priests were getting drunk in the temple and doing all this perversion in there. And so when you read the book of Isaiah, there is some hardcore judgments against the people. So what was Isaiah's argument? Man, unless the Lord had been gracious, he left us a seed. If he dealt with us according to our sins, he would wipe us out because we are deserving. But if it wasn't for his grace leaving us some future Hebrew seed that maybe the future offspring would respond to God by faith, we would have been just like the Sodomites and the Gomorrites, which, as you and I both know, reading our Holy Bible, they were judged. No more Sodomites, no more Gomorrites as it pertains to a people. Obviously, we still have the practice of sodomy, homosexuality, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, that was God's grace. So what are we reading here? The Holy Spirit here is arguing for the promised preservation of his people. He quotes Isaiah's prophecy when the prophet recognized that except the Lord of Sabaoth, which means the Lord of armies, had left us a seed, remember, the remnant, we, Isaiah acknowledges himself with his people, had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. And that's amazing. Because when you notice the contrast, God's grace in dealing with Israel, that's the only reason of hope they had to rely on for their preservation, unlike the Gentile heathen and pagans of the Sodomites and Gomorrites where they were wiped out. So the contrast, God hadn't dealt so with us. Why? Because he's been gracious. Man, he dealt with them because obviously they refused to respond to God. They were living out the lust of their sins, etc. So God dealt with them accordingly. And so verse 30 through 32, this is the reason why the Jews stumbled. This is why the Jew of today, the majority, that we're talking about nationally as an entire people group, no matter where they're scattered or over there in the land, it's because they are attempting to establish the righteousness of God by their works. They are not seeking God's righteousness by faith. They think they can become good enough without any of God's grace or mercy extended through their Messiah or by his virtue. And so the Holy Spirit says this is why they stumbled, because they sought it by their works. And here's the judgment. The Bible says, as they stumbled, as they fell, they were judged, they were cut off throughout Israel's history, and have been those Jews which sought not God by and through faith, but they stumbled because they sought to establish their own righteousness by their works, which they failed to attend, and its perfection and falling short of it received their due reward of judgment. So let's go to one more chapter to the right and then back to chapter 11. Romans chapter 10. Here's what that Bible says starting in verse number 3. For they, talking about Israel, if you go to verse 1, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, that's the point. That stiff-necked, stubborn Jew was ignorant of God's righteousness because they put their own righteousness in front of their face and said, I can be as good as God if I do X, Y, and Z. But when they were simply looking at the outward and not the inward, that's where they failed to recognize the problem, sin in their heart, and needing to plead God's mercy for the forgiveness of their sin, not just by their outward adoration. And it says, going about to establish their own. Do you see that? That's why I'm telling you what I'm saying, because the Bible says so here. They've established their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So what does that tell us, church? This righteousness of God has always been available. People could have believed in God, and God could have credited and imputed his righteousness to the sinner's account, like he did Abraham, Genesis 15:3. But again, the whole of Israel the whole of the Jewish people, proud, stubborn, stiff-necked, they got the works, they got the law, they were boasting as it pertains to their ancestral lineage and superiority, and thought they could be as good as God. And because they sought not God by faith, but rather by their own works and doings, that is their stumbling, and that is the reasons for their future judgments, etc., etc. So back to Romans 11:6. Back there. Let's go back there. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Do you see that? If God is going to justify sinners by grace, there is no room for any work to be done for it to be merited. I couldn't earn God's salvation now before I became a Christian. I can't earn it now after, and I won't be able to maintain it while I am. I came to God because I had nothing to offer him. I came to God because the cross of Christ said that's the penalty for my sin. It was the death of Jesus. If I could earn God's righteousness by my good works, me giving money to the church, me not outwardly killing nobody, me not committing adultery against my wife, but inwardly my heart was still the problem, I wouldn't be able to merit the grace of God because I'm trying to earn it on a works-based system. And look at what the Holy Spirit says. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded unto this day. Then let's consider this parenthetical, because this is very important. So the whole, verse number 6, right? The whole, Israel hath not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election, that's the remnant, they obtain it, the rest were blinded. Why? That little parenthetical is very important in your Bible. Because, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and eyes that they should not hear. But what happened? How did they get to this point where God would give them over to the spirit of slumber and eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear? Don't you think God wanted them to see? Don't you think God wanted the Jews to hear and be saved and be imputed righteousness through faith? Now we have to go back to where that's written, get some context so we can figure out what happened to where God had to say and eventually respond to them spiritually, conditionally, all right, you're not going to see no more. That's it. You've been stubborn to this point, Hebrew. You've been proud of them to this point, Hebrew. You've sought to do your own works. You want to continue to do all this Gentile worshiping of these false gods, defile my temple. You crucified the promised Messiah, etc., etc. You won't be able to see me no more. You won't be able to hear me no more. That's God giving a man over to the desires of their heart as they continually reject what God has given them in their conscience, the light, that revelation. So let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Psalm 103. By the way, I forgot to say, we're on our Bible train, but we're pretty much on a lot of stops now, but let's go on our next stop here on our Bible train, Psalm 103. And praise the Lord that today you came to a Bible-based church where you're seeing Scripture, not feelings, not my good words and my tone trying to make you laugh and feel good. I just want to feed you the word because this is the truth. Amen. This is where it's all, it's what it's all about. So what we're doing real quick is we're going to get some backstory on how it is that God will deal with the Jew where he gets that point where he says, all right, I'm going to give you over to a blind spirit. You're not going to be able to see me. You're not going to hear me because of blank. What was the antecedent? What occurred right before in order for them to have merited that? That's where we're going now. Verse 6, Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. That's good so far. He made his word known to Moses. He gave the truth to the children of Israel. What did Romans 3 say? That's the advantage they have because unto them were given the oracles right there. He's not always going to be angry with us. Why? Verse 8, he's merciful and he's gracious. Plenteous. He's got plenty of that. Slow to anger. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So what does that tell me, believer? What about those that don't fear him? What about the whole of Israel that sought not God by faith, but as it were by their works, they sought to establish their own righteousness rather than his righteousness, saying, God, man, we can't earn it. Here is commandments 1 through 100, and we fail there, we fail here. Lord, forgive me, just because you're a merciful God. I can't do it. Here's the offering, Lord. I fear you. All of that response from God is going to go towards that Jew that fears him. But that other Jew that is so proud in his own or her own works, now we're building some context here as it pertains to how he then responds to them. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Two more times now. Keep an eye on this, church. It has to do with this Hebrew that actually wants to love him, wants to obey him, hence faith. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. What did King David prophesy? Not just an anointed king over Israel, King David was, but he was a prophet, according to Acts 2:30. And speaking generally, an oracle unto his people, remember prior to any existence of the New Testament scriptures. So what he said, that God hath not so dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's powerful. Because God's grace is the answer. He is slow to anger, merciful, gracious. And since the Garden of Eden to the thousand-year reign, God's grace is the virtue which is offered, and his mercy to his creatures for their preservation. But when we consider this now, and it pertains to context, for the election and so on and so forth, the faithful remnant, we can see here now to whom that is going to apply to. Let's go back to Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter 11. We're going to go back and forth into our base text and other particulars of Scripture. Romans 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So what do we see now? We see the election versus Israel. Each represents a different count of Israel as the whole. The whole from the part. The remnant received what they sought, but the rest were blinded. And now, as we just mentioned earlier, verse 8, that parenthetical, it's a certain sentence or words inserted to give a broader meaning to explain or to qualify the remaining. Why were the rest blinded? The Holy Spirit inserts the answer. Because according as it is written. You see here? In other words, according to the Word of God. The oracles of God given to the Jew, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. If we are learning anything as Christians, the nation, as the majority, has been given a hardened heart by their God because they first initially rejected God by their unbelief. We read that in Romans 9. And because they first initially rejected God by their unbelief, as a result of their hardened heart, God gave them over to the spiritual mind they desired, which is the hardening of the heart, the blinding of the eyes, and the slumbering spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and our next Bible stop, and then we're going to go to John chapter number 12. Romans chapter 1 and then John chapter number 12. Here we have in the book of Romans chapter number 1, let's go down to verse number 21. And then we're going to turn our Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 12. So we just saw from Romans 9 that the reason why the majority of Israel did not receive what they sought out for is because they sought to establish their own righteousness by their works. They did not seek God's righteousness by faith. The election did, but the whole didn't. And that's why the remaining Israel, the whole, were then given this judgment by their God that they should be given a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, etc., etc. I'm going to show you Romans 1 as a general application to what we're learning for all of us, all humanity, and then we'll go back into the story as it pertains to God dealing with Israel. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse number 21. What I'm going to share with you today, friend, I want you to really consider, after everything we're talking about here today, as it pertains your heart before God, your Creator. We're not talking about everybody else around you, so just for a second, put aside your feeling, put aside your family, put aside your wife, your husband, your children, and just have a moment of meditating between you and God, your heart, and your Creator, as we read these remaining words, because just like he dealt with the Jew, if you reject God's word so much, if you reject the Spirit of God convicting you to get saved so much, you're going to reach a point in your life where you will ultimately reject him to the day you die, because he's simply giving you what you told him you wanted, which is your sin, your lusts, more than his mercy and grace. And therefore, he's going to give you over to what the Bible calls a reprobate mind. It's going to be so corrupt to the point that you're right. There is no God. There is no God. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God, because you've been given over to that while you first said no to God. So look at here, verse 21. Because that, when they knew God. So here's two ways we can apply this. Number one, the Jew had the oracles. Number two, general mankind, as it pertains to the conscience given to them, the light of God given them, the understanding. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So, God, I know you exist. I know you're the one true God. You know, Noah's out here telling me there's going to be rain because you're God. There's the Lord up there, but I don't believe that. I'm not thankful. That's the thankful heart. The Jew, we could give application to them and their stories, but look at that. The Holy Spirit said neither were thankful. It's not just denying God's existence. It's having a proud heart that you're not being thankful. How about that? But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So Christian, let me ask you, are you following along here? Drink some coffee if y'all need it, right? They glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became. So let me ask you, did they start off with vain imaginations and a foolish, darkened heart? No. They became vain in their imaginations. They became foolish. And as a result of them not glorifying God, as a result of them not being thankful to God, their heart was darkened. Do you see what I'm saying? You could reach a point in your life when you reject, 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 deny, deny, because you want alcohol more, you want weed more, drugs, sex, everything else, money, whatever the case may be. Your heart is going to become darkened as a result of your choice. God is being good enough to give you to what you want. Verse number 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now again, two applications. One, Israel as a whole, right? And then just general mankind across the world. Go down to verse 28. The Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. What does that tell you? That all mankind has the knowledge of God in them. Yesterday, let me take you back in time, we're out there soul winning, telling the world about Jesus, and I'm having a debate and a discussion with this hardcore vegan activist, but he's questioning me about the message I want the world to hear, a real fast discussion. He believes in the theory of evolution, there is no God, no morality. And at some point, he asked me a question about animals and if I believe they're suffering. And I said, well, look there, dude. Your whole premise just folded on itself. How are you going to tell me, somebody that believes in God, from somebody who doesn't, that there's such thing as suffering? What does that denote? That you believe in good and evil. In other words, there's right and there's wrong. That's bad. This is good. How do you do that in an evolutionary mindset where there is no such thing as good? You see, because these supposed atheists or agnostics who believe in evolution, they all believe they came from a Big Bang, the cosmic fart with dirt that came from nowhere, energy that came from nowhere, and you and I are just the byproduct of space dust and energy, and there is no morality as it pertains to objective morality. Like, that is wrong, this is right, because there is no standard. I said, look at that, you just contradict yourself because you have a knowledge of good and evil, but you don't want to retain that there is a ultimate God, right, that judges your lust because you don't want to be told. You want to believe in this fantasy of evolution and that God so you can live how you want, and then you want to ask me about animal rights? That's so stupid. Our nation will fight for homeless dogs in the streets, and they want to re-shelter them and go out and all this, but they are legally still allowing children to be aborted in the womb. This nation is reprobate. It is so corrupt because they don't want to retain God in their mind. They don't want to say, you're God, we are not, you're right, we're wrong, because their lust and their heart is what they want more to do. So look it. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. That's what you're going to have to fight every day, church. Whether you're a Christian, not a Christian, doesn't matter. I'm just telling you, friend, you got to fight this flesh. You got to let the word of God be true, and you got to consider your feelings lie. As a result of them not wanting to retain God, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Go back to Israel, right? Back to our focus, Romans chapter 11. Israel had not attained what he sought for. Why? Wherefore? Because they were given a spirit of slumber, right? Eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear. Why? It wasn't because God had already pre-programmed the thing like that, but it was because they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want to believe in God. They didn't want to follow God with all their heart. They had an outward profession, but they had no inward sincerity. And therefore, God dealt with them accordingly, just like he will with you or anybody on this planet. And I asked them, I said, you know what the problem is, man? I said, you just don't want a God telling you that you're wrong, so that way you have freedom from doing whatever you want to do. That's the problem, right? That's ultimately what it comes down to. I want to do what I want to do without judgment of a higher power. All right, John chapter 12. Let's go to John chapter 12. John, the 12th chapter. So, church, if you're here, you're coming to church, keep coming, because you know your flesh isn't just going to want to do what the Bible says. You got to push that flesh, church. Don't reject God to the point where he gives you over to a reprobate mind. If you ask me, Brother Carlos, what's the most scariest verse in the Bible? It's that one right there. Because a man can reach a point where he says no to God so much where God says, okay, it's about time. Holy Spirit, that's it. Eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, fully reprobate. They're going to go to hell rejecting God, and they're going to come out one day still with that mentality, no God, no God. And that's what you got to remember, church. Whenever somebody goes to hell forever, because Christ says it's forever, there is never in Scripture a remorse of the sinner when they come out of the judgment. Do you know that the Bible tells us that not one sinner that goes down there comes out saying, I'm so sorry, God! As a matter of fact, they come out angry with God. While they're weeping and gnashing teeth, they are not saying, I'm sorry. They went in there hating God. They went in there with the homosexuality. They went in there with their adultery, with their selfish money and their secret sins and their whatever. They're going to come out just like that. When they see God on that great white throne judgment, for one split second of time, they're not going to suffer. Only to be cast into a lake of fire forever. You better let God remain in there as much as you can. Amen. John 12, verse number 37. Verse number 37. Bible says here in the Gospel of John, chapter number 12, verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Who is he talking about here? Go back earlier. It says here, yes, Sister Letty already said it, the Hebrews, the Jews of his day. In verse number 19, the Pharisees therefore said, so we have the Pharisees in context, some Greeks wanted to come talk to him, And we know that before him all, we have the people of Israel, much people that were coming to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So we had all these Jews, you understand, that were there. So go down here to verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. What is the qualifier for God's response to hardening a heart, the Jew or the Gentile? It's because they believed not Jesus Christ. The Father confirmed him as the promised Messiah in the midst of his people by the performing of miracles, signs, and wonders. You can read that in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 23. Let's keep reading. That the saying of Isaiah, oh man, there you got Isaiah again. Man, it must be a book that has to do a lot with the New Testament. Would you agree? So why don't you go reread it on your own time and figure out all this back and forth fulfillment. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart. By the way, biblically speaking, when we talk about the understanding aspect of our human nature, it's the heart. That's where you receive, that's where you believe, and that's where the understanding is birth grown. You understand? And be converted, and I should heal them. How about that? Nor understand where they are, and be converted, and I should heal them. Therefore, because of their unbelief in Messiah, their rejection of the Father's attempts to prove him by the acts, etc., etc., they could not believe. That's pretty harsh. Again, side nugget preaching. That's why we go soul winning today, church. Many of our brethren around the world, we are sent forth and go forth to preach that people may respond while they still have a softened heart and conscience. Here's what the scripture says as it pertains to the urgency for people to be saved. 2 Corinthians 6 and Hebrews chapter number 3. Let's go there quickly. These are just two quick ones. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1. Here's what that Bible says. We then, as workers together with him, isn't that cool? You're a Christian. You are a worker for God. You are a worker with God and wanting to get people saved. Beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for he saith, remember that parenthetical? Look at that. The Holy Spirit is going to insert another one. He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. King James Bible word succored, help thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then Hebrews chapter 3. Here's what that Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 7 through 8, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. Wow! They had an opportunity to hear. But what did they do with their own heart? They willfully rejected God. They could hear, but they didn't want to. They could see, but they didn't want to see. They could have believed, but they didn't want to. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Talking about the Jews, we'll get there, but what is the point? Today, if you will hear his voice, that's why we go out there. While people are still living in the flesh, we don't know their state or their status between God and every single individual. I don't know how much of reprobation they got, 50%, 5%. I don't know how much God has given them over, but what I'm called to do is to go forward. So when I do, I'm telling them, please be saved. Trust Christ today while you can, because there's going to come a day when that's it. No more that their ability to see, to hear, because they've been hardened to the point, because they don't want God. They've rejected him to that point. So notice God's word, not man's systematic methods of interpretation. The Holy Ghost said today, if ye will hear his voice. So this church explains two great truths for us to observe today. Number one, Israel's blindness in part, and number two, the general world's blindness rejecting the gospel. God, therefore, clearly tells us how and why people will reach the point and place where their heart will reject him. It's because they first rejected him. And from the first time he sent you or your family or your neighbors or a preacher or a Christian or a believer to tell you about God, his existence, his truth, you had an opportunity to either accept or reject. And the next time comes around, somebody, you know, waters the seed, as they say. Let's say it's you going to your family member or your friend, right? We're getting the picture here. But they reject or they accept. I'm not sure. There's going to come one more time eventually where God is going to completely give them over to that reprobate mind, and it'll be too late. Don't let this happen to you. Keep coming to church. Fight that flesh. Make time to get in that book. Make time to get in that word, because this flesh will tell you everything right to do aside from God, and eventually you'll get to a point where you're like, man, I don't even want to go to church anymore, man. I don't want to read my Bible, man. God is this and that. Because you first in your heart said, Lord, I'm not thankful. Lord, I'm wise on my own. Man, don't let that happen to you today. If you are here today or watching online, you believe God while you can. The more you reject him, your heart will become hardened to the point of no return, essentially, to the point where you're going to say, man, I don't believe in God anymore. You understand? So back to verses 9 through 10. Let's go back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Okay. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let them earn what they deserve, God. That's the prayer from David. To who? To the Jews that reject him. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back. Oh, man, that's a hardcore prayer. Woo! I hope, praise the Lord, I'm saved, amen. I hope you're saved, man. That's the plan. So far, what do we see here from God's Spirit and his prophets? There are some heavy judgments against the unbelieving Jews from Elijah, Isaiah, and King David. And unlike others, this is for the rejection of the Word of God. And so before we close, just to kind of get one last nugget for this, they're stumbling. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to come to a close in our Bible stop for today. In Hebrews chapter 4, the context, if we go back again, talking about Israel, and this is a letter being written to predominantly a Jewish audience so that they will remember God's dealing with their forefathers back in the days, right? Harden not your hearts, verse 8 of chapter 3, is in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, they proved me, they saw my works, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. Look at how God looks to the heart of man. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, notice church, they shall not enter into my rest. So the admonition to that Jew at the time that the letter of Hebrews was written was to take heed. Brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So chapter 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, the Jews, in the provocation. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, and so on and so forth. So what do we see here? These rebellious, unbelieving Jews shall not enter into his rest. And that's the context here as it pertains to the nation of Israel. Go back down here a little bit later. Verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when we, as we continue to go forward in our Romans chapter 11 studies, pretty good history. Some of us, I know it's a little overwhelming as it pertains to going back and forth to learn how the Hebrew gets to that point. But he's not done with them as in general, because he gave his promise to Abraham. The application, friends, that we could take from ourselves is this. If God dealt with them so, we know he's not going to deal with us so as much, because we're Christians. Again, we're not Jews under the law. We're in Christ. We have all these new spiritual promises. He's still going to deal with you. If we don't want to retain God in our knowledge this day, if we want to continue to live life however we want, justified by our feelings and everybody, this and that, he's going to give you to that at some point. And it'll be real hard for you to come back. So that's why I'm telling you, friends, it's good that you're coming to church. It's good that you have a little Bible knowledge wherever you're at. Keep going off that and don't look back. Because you don't want to reach a point in time in your spiritual walk where the Lord is going to give you over to that mindset and it's going to be too difficult. And at some point, you don't even want to be corrected by that Christian brother. You're going to not answer the phone when you know that Christian guy is just trying to call you, because your flesh man has overtaken your spirit man. You're going to still be saved. But boy, is the Lord going to deal with you and that spiritual conviction. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the truths that we learned today as it pertains to you dealing with your people Israel. And we thank you, Lord, that even at this present time, Lord, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. We thank you for them Jews that are getting saved, Lord, that they too can be full partakers of all the great promises you gave their forefathers. And for us as Christians, we thank you for the provoke and the word and the heed for us to continue to go out, not only to preach the gospel, but to live it, so that our family members, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers could potentially be saved and see while there is still time for them to be saved. Lord, thank you for your patience for every one of us here, because at some point we used to be rebellious. We used to reject you when the Christian at our family a party would tell us, and our family circles, our friendships would try to tell us about you, Lord. We thank you that you were patient with us until we got saved. So, Lord, help us to extend that same patience towards others now. And we pray that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. Well, thank you for coming to church. The Lord bless you. We will be having our Sunday night fellowship at 6 o'clock tonight. If you want to come on for some free dinner, it'll be a blessing to see you there. The Lord bless.